You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. I want to echo what was said, to thank everybody that did so much to make yesterday work. Without it, it wouldn't have worked. So appreciate that. The dusting, the setting up, all of it. Thank you. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. God, thank you. So look, deal with us according to your wonderful mercy and grace. And we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of John, the Gospel of John, the last apostle to be alive, Apostle John, writing at the turn of, just before the turn of the century, and he tells us what none of the other, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, don't tell us. He gives us the very detailed understanding of what took place in that upper room before the crucifixion. And that's chapter 13 through 17. And in chapter 14, as we've been studying it, most awesome, he's dealing with the 12, now 11, after Judas. He's dealing with them in a most personal way, intimate way, a full way. He wouldn't have done this out in the street to people. He can only do it where people need to hear and are going to profit thereby. And these 11 are going to definitely profit. They aren't at the moment, but they will now. So in the light of it, in devastating setting for them, it's all going to be over as far as they're concerned shortly, his crucifixion. Their whole, everything is just going to fall apart as they knew it and understood it. Now, so here are the 11 left in the upper room. And they've been with him for 3 1/3 years, as it were. And in the process, they recognized inch by inch that he was very special, that he was the Messiah, as they perceived it. Over to chapter 6 for a moment, coming back here. Romans chapter 6 reminding us that in there a little earlier, they had given, in the light of all the feeding of the 5,000 and all of that, and in the light of that, the many disciples walked no more with him, and they just didn't want to follow him because he said, the Lord said very hard things that they didn't want to hear, they didn't want to understand. So here in John chapter 6, remember verse 68. I'll read verse 67, a little better context. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away like the rest of them? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure, we do, all of us, that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. We acknowledge that. We all understand you're very, very, very special, and therefore you represent God in a most special way. Now, having said that, but they didn't connect. They haven't connected. Exodus chapter 3, as you know. Exodus chapter 3, what? I am that I am, verse 14. Moses, you hear it. And Moses, you are going to understand it because you're at the burning bush, and that's an awesome thing. You're going to be at Mount Sinai up in the midst of the fire. How many times? For 40 days and 40 nights. Are you going to understand? He is that he is. Absolutely, in a most wonderful way. Now, here are the 11 disciples. And they're in the, having been with him 3 1/3 years, as it were. Do you understand that he is who he is? No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Why not? Over if you would please. They couldn't connect. We'll go back and forth. Over to John chapter 10. Remember he told them. He made it clear to them. John chapter 10. And picking up, if I can, in the light of the wonderful security and assurance that he gives, that no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, 10:30, I and my Father are one. Now the Jews, verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, because they understood. They understood, but they didn't understand. What did they understand? That he's saying he's God, and that's very hard for them to absorb and to assimilate into their system. They weren't doing it. And they were going to kill him. That's why they want to kill him and get him, stone him. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, I and my Father are one. Over to John chapter 5. Remember now, they've been with him. All we're doing now is rehearsing. If you were them, what would you have heard? What would you have understood of all this time? You've been with him 3 1/3 years. You say he's the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. But what do you understand? He's been saying it. All I'm trying to do is get us refreshed to be with them in that upper room. Wow. John chapter 5, picking up if I can. John chapter 5 and in verse 17. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, what do the Jews think? Now, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but, oh, so much more, said also that God was his Father. And did you understand when he said that? Yes, we did, said the Jews, making himself equal with God. They're unsaved Jews, but they understand. He's communicating that he's making himself equal with God. He can't be equal with God. That's why they want to get him. He's saying it. They understood that. They had no problem with that. Now, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, picking up, if I may, again, in verse 41, get the movement. Now, here's the Jews, again, in the same setting as we just read. The Jews also then murmured at him, because, he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And, remember now, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Sliding down to verse 41. He said he is the bread of life which came down from heaven. He came down from heaven. Who comes down from heaven? No one. Verse 42. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? We know his half-sisters and brothers, half of them. We know his mother, Mary. We know his stepfather, though we don't know him as a stepfather. We assumed he's the father. We made an assumption. So here they are, and he's just like us, the flesh and blood. You could touch him, feel him. Wow, he looks like us. He can't be God. That's what they said. And now here are the disciples in the upper room, and they having the whole thing's falling apart, and he's going to help them. That's what the Lord is doing. He's been trying to help them for 3 1/3 years, as it were. Now, in the process of that, so, over if you would please, in your Bible, to John chapter 6 again, and picking up, if I can, in verse 52. 6:52. Then the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man, remember we did that when we studied, this man give us his flesh to eat? How can this man do that? How can the Messiah, if we receive him as the Messiah, how could he be the Messiah? How could this ever be? Would be received, if he is to be received, he'd have to be according to, in other words, if we're going to receive him, we're going to receive him according to our thinking. What do you think about God? What does God mean to you in your brain, in your heart? And you, each person will give their thinking about an invisible, infinite God. They're going to try to make a statement of some intelligence about God. And they're going to make a statement. This is what I think God looks like. This is what I think God can do. God, we don't really understand you. And we have all of that. As long as you allow us to have our thinking, it's fine. We'll think God as we want to conceive and understand him. And as long as we can do that, we're very comfortable. But when you say you're God, God, that we can't handle. And they didn't. They didn't. Now, having said that, so God, did you ever ask people to define you? Did you ever ask people to explain you? No. You never asked anybody or even inferred it to explain, define, or talk. All you said is, in the beginning, what? God. That's the first, last statement. I'm God. Now start with that. But tell us about what we... I'm the Creator. I am an awesome Creator. My ways and my thoughts are higher than the heavens. Do you understand? I'm God. That's what you start with. That's it. God. Now, what are you telling the Jews? You're God. They can't handle that. God can't be a man. God can't do that. And here are the disciples in the upper room, and God in front of them, is trying to help them. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the Father. I'm standing in front of you. I'm the whole ball of wax. That's not the way to say that, but you got it. I'm everything. Do you understand? I'm the whole thing. You're looking at him. But where do we look? I'm standing in front of you to help you. Now, hang on to that little bit, if you would, because that's an awesome, awesome thing, to say the least. Now, and so therefore, God, what are you going to say? You know the Hebrews 11:6 and that. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must, M-U-S-T, compulsory, absolutely necessary, you must believe that I am. You must believe that he is. Well, how about, no, just believe God is. That's all. That's what we try to do. Yeah, just God. We're in the presence of God. That's all. Do you understand that? Oh, that's so hard. Aha. Uh-huh. Now, so therefore, and therefore, in Isaiah 45, you know, and all of that, in Isaiah 45, you may want to turn there just to stay awake. Isaiah 45, picking up, if I may. Oh, and you pick up the flavor of it, wonderfully so. Isaiah chapter 45, picking up, please, in verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near, this is the world, the idols, everyone that has everything. I'll even read verse 20 for a little better context. Assemble yourselves and come draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, they that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient old time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God, there is none else. I have sworn by myself. Verse 23, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, shall not return that unto me. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Everything is going to honor me when it's all done. They aren't honoring me, but they will honor me. Now, God, so that's an awesome thing. So now, John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, picking up again in thought. Now remember now, that would help us now understand. If you're a Jew, If you were a Greek, we'll do the Jew first. If you were a Jew, you would understand that here's the Moses, the books of Moses, the Ten Commandments put in the Ark of the Covenant, a sacred, a testimony as we study at night, testimony to God, witness to confirm evidence that God is God. Now, so but to the Jews, here's the Old Testament. Now, here's the Yahweh, the letters, YHWH. Now, Yahweh. Now, or Jehovah. Yahweh. Now. But we can't say that word. We never say that word. It's a sacred word. It's his name. Not only we won't use his name, we use the word Adonai, Lord, 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 Lord. We won't call him. We won't call him that. Not only we won't call him, we will never write the name. We will never write the name. We won't write the name. Sacred. Holy, most high, most honored. God, you're out of reach, beyond in our ball game. And when it came, so anyway, now, having said that, and to add to that, the Greeks, the Gentiles, what did they do? They had, what did they know? They used the word God. What do they know? God, what did the Gentiles understand? God is invisible. You can't see God. What did the Jews know? God is invisible, except he spoke to them at Mount Sinai, and they saw God, as it were, face to face by way of the fire and everything. But God's invisible. And therefore, the Greeks and the Gentiles, the Jews, I should say, that God, you can't see God. We can't even understand God. God is God, most distant. And therefore, here's the Jews with all of that, thinking, and therefore, God, what are you going to have to do? You are the invisible God. Absolutely. You are bigger than everything. Oh, we said it. I have to say it a million times because it's true, but we can't grab it. There's nothing outside of God. There's something outside of you, all you people outside, but there's nothing outside of God. God just is. There is nowhere to go. What about space? You have to understand, God, that isn't God. That's hard. Isn't that hard? Now, how are we going to come to grips with God? Because he's God. That's what you have to understand. So, God, what are you going to do? They understood that. Adam and Eve, did you understand? Everyone understands all the way to the Tower of Babel and everything. Till we got all religion and politics involved. So God, you're God. But we can't see and understand you. No. Therefore, what do you say? Now, you got to have that little bit of exercise, because here they are in the upper room, and the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to help them very much. So now, you would appreciate, would you not, the chapter 14, John, chapter 14 of John, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now remember, Thomas and them said, we don't know the way. They contradicted our Lord. We don't know the way, and we don't know how to get there. We don't know that. So now verse 7. If the Lord Jesus, if you don't, if it isn't true, if you had known me, and you really never did up to this point, you never know me. If you had known me, known, you're looking at the object and see the object. I know what I see. I know what I understand. I'm knowing it. If you had known me, but you didn't, if you should have known my Father. If you had known me, you would know my Father. But you don't know me. But we've been with you 3 1/3 years. You still don't know me. You don't know me. Wow. And also, from henceforth, from this present time, at this present moment, from now on, I heard you, from now on, he's in the upper room, he's going to go out the door to the guard and the crucifixion. I want you to know from this second on, you know me. From henceforth, don't you say you don't. You do know me. He's making it very positive for them. That's awesome. Now, verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth, you know him. And not only you know him, you have seen him. Now, that's awesome. No, I do. And when you look at the body, the casket, think of John down there, the casket, and all those things. And you go to the gravesite and we lower the body into the ground. And in the presence of God, wow. Wow. God said, do you know me? Oh, I know about you. Do you really know me? Do you really know me? Oh, I know Jesus. Do you really know him? He's God. If you've seen me, if you've heard, you hear me, you see me, you know me, and have seen me in verse 7, you have seen me. Over to chapter 13 for a moment. Chapter 13, picking up, if I may, in verse 19. An upper room number again earlier. Chapter 13, verse, now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. You don't yet, but you will know that I am who I am. I've been trying to help you for 3 1/3 years. But it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the Greek world. It doesn't fit the Jewish world. It fits God's world. And that's what we got to overcome, because we got our humanness that just runs the whole ball game, like we shared in Sunday school. Now, having that said that little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. You are knowing him, present tense, and you are seeing him with the result that you see him. You presently see him now. Now, in a most wonderful way, you see him now. Having said that, seeing is believing. Now, I'm going to help you, he said. I'm going to deal with you so you can see it. Over to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, now remember our Lord said to them, the writers, he said, all the stuff, all the things I told you, I will bring back to your mind. What we're reading is what God recorded about what they said, the 3 1/3 years. Are you going to do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Chapter 5, picking up if I may, in chapter 5, and in verse, 5 and 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. You don't believe. That's the trouble. You don't believe. Well, remember in John chapter 1, the word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. What? 1:14. John 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 3. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word is God. He became flesh. Verse over to, while you're on far away, go over to chapter 1 again. John chapter 1. And picking up, if I may, and if I can, John 1, picking up in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, the innards, inwards, he hath declared him out to make it, bring out, to make known. To God, the Lord Jesus Christ is here to make God known. To exegete, to bring him out, so you can see him. How can anyone see an invisible God? You can't. But when God wants to show himself, he sent his Son, made in whose image? In your image, and my image, in the image and likeness of God. So when you see we just did this, all these things. God, what is the purpose of us? That God would be able to be seen forever in humans that have been saved. The invisible God, seen in humans. That's what he designed us for, to show himself. That's what it's all about. Wow. That is. And that hang on. And God didn't choose to use angels. Angels aren't like you. Or me? Angels are wonderful spirit beings, but they don't have anything like you do. You're meant to know God, enjoy God in a way that they never can. Wow. That's, anyway, God. Now, having said that, so in verse 18 again, a God, you have, the Lord Jesus Christ, has taken the invisible God and made him visible. Now, that's pretty clear and pretty simple in a most wonderful way. God, you have done that. And now, over to John, if I can, in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And if I can, John chapter 15, picking up, please, in verse 24. Up in room still, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. They rejected me. And they rejected my Father. They have seen him. Where? The Lord Jesus Christ has become flesh. Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Awesome. Absolutely. Absolutely awesome. Now, if you would, in the light of that, you have seen. No question. So now, just run by, make believe you're going to, with one of the disciples again, and you've got all this history stored up in your brain in some measure. Over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Gospel of Gospel of John, chapter 3. May I go, please, to verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto you. In other words, he's the fullness of God, the fullness. So when you looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see God. You're going to see him. Chapter 3, verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. We have seen it. We have seen it. And we've seen. The Lord Jesus said, here I am. Here I am. I'm trying to help you. John, what did you say? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So here we are, you're looking over at verse 32 again. John 32. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, the Lord did, and no man receiveth his testimony. The Lord Jesus said, I am who I am. About who's going to believe me? You guys don't believe. I really am who I am. Wow. I am. And God, you've given the fullness of your wonderful person. The Lord Jesus Christ is to, in his perfect humanity, is to reflect your wonderful deity in an awesome way. Wow. So that then we can know. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to chapter 6. John chapter 6. And if I may, chapter 6, verse 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And he's going to keep saying that. You have seen me, you don't believe. You see me, you don't believe. You see me. Now, how much can he say it? Well, it's all the way now to the upper room. And he said, from henceforth, gentlemen, you have seen me. Don't say it anymore that you haven't. I'm going to make it as clear and as simple as possible. I am who I am for real. Wow. Now, in the light of that, verse 46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father in his perfect humanity. He is. The Father is in the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone that sees. The Lord Jesus said, you see me, you don't believe. You don't believe. You should believe, but you don't. You don't. How simple can I make it? How clear can I make it? You, with your eyes, look at me. I'm a human. I'm not an angel. I'm a human. In my born in Bethlehem of Judea, in a most awesome, wonderful way. Now, John chapter 9, in the light of that. John chapter 9. And if I may, here we have, remember the blind man that was given sight? Just the account, just to remind ourselves. Now, and the man never saw the Lord. He never saw the Lord till he went and got put the stuff in his eyes and got healed. And he never saw the Lord. So he was looking. He understood the Lord healed his eyes, but he never met him. Therefore, verse 35, 9:35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, the Pharisees and all of that. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe in the Son of God? And here's the man, blind man, seeing the Lord standing in front of him. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? I'm willing to believe in the Son of God. And you have to, how simple this is. Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. I'm standing in front of you. I am who I am. Now, how confusing is it? Oh, it's so hard. That's right, because our whole world doesn't want to, we don't want to get God in the awesome person that he is. We don't want to understand him. And therefore, as professing Christians people do, we're believing God and here's Allah and here's the idols and this, everything else out there, superstition and everything, all working away with zeal and great ISIS and all of that, Muslim. Wow. And here are the Christians. Here are the Christians. And being pushed around and everything. And in our little heart and mind, someone says something, well, maybe you're right. Maybe it's true. Maybe. Who knows where Jack is? Who can know? And you know it, as we said it. With all of our, I think I said, I try to be such a hit. I said, with all of your ritual and with all of your religion, I would have said this if I could have remembered it. It's no higher. Raise your hands over your head, make believe. Your religion and ritual and all your thinking is no higher than your hands over your head. You can't do, say, think, or touch that which is beyond you. And we're all going to talk about this is going to be and that's going to be. You don't have one iota to touch that. Only God does. And all our religion and rituals and thinking is like this. And we try to find people that will agree and think like we do and feel like us. Wow. And we just miss out. I would have said that, but probably would have shot me, you know. Wow. It's true, isn't it? Haven't you been to funerals? Been to them. You know, I'll do whatever. And you look around, and everyone's going to say this and say that. So what? What's that going to do? Nothing. Nothing. No. Either God is or he isn't. Either you believe and don't, or either you believe and know him or you don't. That's all. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, John chapter 20. I appreciate your patience and that. John chapter 20. Picking up, if I may. Remember, this is after resurrection. It certainly fits. John chapter 20. Remember Thomas, you're the one back there in John's upper room. God, we don't know. Thomas, after the resurrection, we don't know. So you're going to come the second Sunday. I'm going to be there, evening service. I'm going to come to evening service. And, if I can, in verse 27. Then saith he to Thomas, 20:27. Saying he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Thomas, did you finally got it? He did. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, and thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. They never see. All they do is hear the good news. Blessed are those people. You don't need to see God. You need to know him. How can we know him? By the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Now, over if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. So you'll be encouraged and you'll be reminded. Hebrews chapter 11, picking up if I may. You remember speaking of the great believing people that believed God by faith. Without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:27 of Moses. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. But how did you do it? For he endured. How could you possibly survive, Moses, seeing him who is invisible? Walk with God. Where? How do I not walk with? How do you not walk with God? Wow. When everything encroaches and comes in all around him, our Lord, think him standing there in his ministry. Standing there, the crowd comes in all crushing in to crush in to get him, and you never caught him. You never can get him. Wow. God? Yeah. Because he's in the presence of God. He is God. Now what are you going to do? Nothing. God? There's no way to break through. There's no way to get through. No, if I put a hedge around you, you believe it's one hedge that no one's going to get through. If I put that hedge around you, like Job, no one's going to get through. And they better ask permission, and I may not give it to the devil, etc. Now, having said that a little bit, over, if you would, in 1 John. You aren't far away. 1 John, and John, pick it up for us, if you would. Picking up in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, underline, with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of what? Of the word of life. We were there. We saw him. He held our hand. He even hugged us, I bet. Now, verse 2. For life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. A unique, wonderful relationship to God. Wow. Chapter 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. Picking up in thought, if I may. John chapter 4. Oh, going, you'll get it. Chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? How do you honor an invisible God if you can't honor? Think of the John chapter 3, our Lord said, he said, trying to explain to him that you're born physically in order to be born spiritually. And then he said, if you don't understand, I'm trying to help you, John chapter 3, I'm trying to help you understand. If you don't understand earthly things, how are you going to understand when I tell you heavenly things? I'm trying to help you understand at your level how it works. But you don't understand. So what's the sense of me telling you heavenly things? You can't even get humans in order, let alone the invisible God. Wow. Now, so having said that little bit, and God, in closing, get it close. Over. I think, anyway, the upper room's an awesome collection of truth, isn't it? And we may not finish it before the Lord comes. We may not finish 17. That's the upper room. We're going to be in the upper room until we go up. You understand? That's what we're going to do. That's the plan. We're going to keep going. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And then the upper room. And if anyone's going to be ready to go up, you all better be ready. After being in the upper room that long, man, So if you would, Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God, here we are. And so in chapter 4, picking up if I can, in verse 6, remember now, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined where? In our hearts. He's the light of the world. He shined in our hearts. For what reason? To give light, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. How so? In the face of Jesus Christ. How could you possibly ever get to know the invisible God? In the person of Jesus Christ. When you receive Him as your Savior, that's where you get to know Him. And He now, hang on to that, He in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, vessels of clay and of dust, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's all about God. It isn't about us human beings with flesh and blood, blood and brains and brawn and beauty and all of that. It isn't about that. It's about you, God, the person inside. That's correct. That's correct. Over, if you would please, in the light of that. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man, external man, is perishing, dying all the time. Pretty soon your body wears out and it's tired of existing, runs out of steam. The outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And for our light affliction, light, which is for us, it's always perishing, always going. Everything's disappearing, actually. Yesterday disappeared into today. Today will disappear into tomorrow. Everything is disappearing, no matter how you cut the cookie. For our light affliction, verse 17, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, where do we get our hands on that? Verse 18. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Are we learning to look? What did you say to Thomas? Blessed are they that understand God's wonderful person and being, the invisible God, whom we have been placed into His wonderful person by way of His Son. Wow. It isn't anything we see. It's what we don't see. It isn't what we feel. It's faith exercising what? 2 Corinthians 5, sliding over. Verse 6. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5, 6. Therefore, we are always confident about what? Knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So we're looking to leave. That's right. Wherefore, we labor. Well, that's right. We're still here. Whether we're present or absent, we want to go, be accepted. Remember, think of prayer meeting, pleasing God. What is the whole business? The whole business is to please you, God, to satisfy your wonderful creative purpose and saving grace in saving us. That's what it's all about. Now, God, the Lord Jesus said in the upper room again, no more are you going to walk out this door and say you don't know me. You are, and it's going to take my resurrection, but I'm going to fix it. And you aren't going to fix it because you don't have the power to fix it. But the Spirit of God, whom I will send in my name, He will fix it. And you will say, Abba, Father, with all your heart. And you will know that you are one wonderfully saved person. And that's the assurance you have
to go live.
Wow. Huh? Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, it's just us. It's a wonderful thing, God. So simple, marvelous. Thank you very much. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.